Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The mighty Blackhawks. Take the attack, yeah, and we'll back you, Blackhawks. You're flying high now, so let's wrap it up. Let's go, you Hawks. Move us. Now all the dogs. Here comes the Hawks.
Welcome into another Friday show here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dave Melton, the site manager for Second City Hockey. You can find me on Twitter at DMelt57. Eric from Chicago is with me again this week, back from assignment. And we've got two other writers from two of our, I guess, former sibling sites, still sibling sites, whatever. Anyway, it's Kelly from Broad Street Hockey, the Flyers website, and Alex from The Cannon, the Columbus Blue Jackets website. And the four of us got together for something. I'm going to give all of the credit to this to Eric, because this was entirely his idea. He and Alex kind of worked together on the format for this. I don't want to get too deep into the explanation here. I'm going to let you get right to the conversation in a moment. But the general idea here is we went around the NHL and picked the worst contract from each team. And it was a fantasy draft, 8 rounds with the four of us, all 32 teams. And basically, it just gave us an opportunity to run our mouths about every other team in the NHL, which turned out to be a lot more fun than we all initially thought it was going to be. And we hope you feel the same way about this episode. So I don't want to give you any more of a preamble than that. Let's get right to the episode. Thanks to you for listening. Thanks to Alex and Kelly for joining us. And we'll be back with more episodes next week. But for now, let's get to the fantasy draft. Pretend you know what you're doing and don't actually know what you're doing.
That's how I do everything.
Yeah.
Amen.
my worst fantasy experience was the year I was doing fantasy baseball and I had Daryl Kyle on my team, but also didn't like take him off my bench for like weeks afterwards.
No. Oh no.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I guess we'll get into our fantasy draft here. We have two familiar voices here. Obviously, one is mine here on Second City Hockey Podcast Network. And Eric from Chicago was back from assignment. Eric, say hi to everyone.
Yo.
There you go. We have two new guests this week, though, for a little fantasy draft that's a little bit unique in nature. And in a second, I'm going to let Eric explain the idea behind this. But introducing, we have Kelly Hinkle here from Broad Street Hockey.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And we also have Alex. Is it Alex Connor or O'Connor, a.k.a. Pale Dragon?
Correct. Yep.
And Alex is from The Cannon, the Columbus Blue Jackets website, on the former SB Nation network. And now we're all estranged siblings, I guess. However that works.
Yeah, we're not talking to each other right now.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe at Christmas we'll decide, like, all right, I guess we have to get together now. So the reason we've assembled is for this fantasy draft of bad contracts, and I don't want to explain it too much because I will do it incorrectly. So I'm going to let Eric give the quick rundown of how this all is going to work. So Eric, if you would.
Well, first of all, we didn't plan this, but this dawned on me the other day. Congratulations to all four of us, as the teams that we write about ended up with the three best players in this year's draft. So congratulations to all of us going
forward.
Look
at us.
I know. It just happened to work out that way. But this idea came to me. It was a mailbag at The Athletic for Eric Duhecheck. And somebody suggested a lottery for the worst contracts in the league where each team would get to ditch a contract onto somebody else. And I was like, that would be fun to do. So essentially, Kelly and Alex were nice enough to join us, and that's what we're going to be doing this evening. We've all kind of gone through and looked at each team individually and picked what we consider to be the very worst contract from every team. And we're going to go with the ultimate goal being to get the worst possible contract and then go in order from there until you end up with some halfway decent players, just with really bad deals by the time we get to the end of the first round. And then Dave had an idea as far as how the order would go. So we'll let Dave talk about that.
Well, real quickly, I know Alice had a brief remix on was it on the initial idea or was it on the idea that you ended up presenting there? I just want to make sure I'm giving everybody proper credit here.
It was the initial idea. My initial idea was way more in-depth and nerdy to be like strategic about, you know, who you would actually draft that could help your team. So we pretend to be GMs and stuff, but this will probably be a lot more fun. So thank you to Alex for the remix.
I mean, we could probably be better than most NHL GMs, right? I think that's proven itself over watching hockey people hockey for the last 30 years or so.
Low bar is subterranean.
But yeah, so the idea for the order, I mean, I think we were all hoping for all of our teams respectively to get the number one picks this year. And I think it would be very inappropriate for myself or Eric to have a number one pick once again. So I guess.
Agreed.
You guys are lucky I'm in a good mood that the draft worked out anyway.
So we're going to go in inverse order of the way the NHL draft actually ended up. So Kelly's going to go first. We'll let Alex. Yeah. Alex will go second. And Eric, you can go third, and I'll go fourth. So
are we going to do serpentine then? So Dave, you go fifth too?
Oh no, we're not going to. It's not going to be a snake draft. We'll do the standard, the way they do it with the fancy NHL draft. Just
okay. There we go.
Yeah, Kelly to Alex to you to me, and then back to Kelly at the top. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Yeah. All right. Well, Kelly, with the number one pick in this terrible fantasy contract draft or whatever we're calling this. Who you got?
With the first overall pick, I am proud to select, just to be a little bit spicy since you boys are here, I am taking Seth Jones with my first
pick. Wow.
Yep, there.
So what we're saying here is that the Seth Jones contract is the worst value contract in the entire NHL?
Listen, my scouts and I have certain criteria, one of them being spiciness and annoyingness. And I decided that since we've got two Chicago guys here and you guys very, very rudely ended up with probably the best hockey player on the face of the planet, that I'm taking Seth Jones first. I don't need to explain myself. It's done. It's happened.
But Kelly, consider this. Would you rather have Seth Jones or Adam Boqvist, Cole Sillinger, and David Yurecek?
You know,
it's a tough call.
Thanks for that one, Alex.
Yeah. You guys get. Hey.
I do not like Seth Jones for all the reasons Alex just stated. But I was actually surprised at my own personal list how much I kept pushing him down because he's somewhat useful as compared to some of the black holes that I currently have at the top of my list. But so
he's not actually a bad player. He's just way overpaid.
That's my thing. He's way overpaid and you guys are stuck with him forever.
Yes. For a very long time.
He's really not that. He's like fine. He's like a fine player. Like if he had 4 years left on his contract or something, I would not be having this conversation with you. But 7 years is.
It goes till 2030.
Like, I will say though,
he will be 36, 35 years old when that contract ends.
The heat death of the universe may come before.
Global warming will save us from the end of Seth Jones's contract. So we at least have that to look forward to.
I will say though, I he didn't work out as Stan Bowman wanted for like, you know, a player that helps a contending team. But for where Chicago is at now though, first of all, the contract helps you get to the cap floor and he can eat a ton of minutes. So your defensive prospects that come in don't have to have a heavy load to start out. So it's maybe not the worst thing. He's just, again, really overpaid.
God, it's so annoying how hard you guys went into the tank.
And you know what? Annoying. And we were worried that they didn't go into the tank hard enough.
Yeah, they squeaked a couple out at the end there.
Oh, how do we hit the cap floor? Shut up. It's so annoying. Am I bitter? Yes.
At least they don't have Shea Weber and Voracek and Brian Little and all these guys who are never going to play again.
Oh, poor Voracek.
Yeah.
Rip D to Jake Voracek.
And I think the other thing with the Blackhawks, like there is no other like contract that is anywhere near a close second. Like this is the worst deal. Like they only have like two or three more players who are under contract beyond this coming NHL season. So like it's like Connor Murphy, I believe is two or three more years. Like even Tyler Johnson is making $5 million. And, but that deal is up at the end of this year. So this is far and away the worst contract on the Hawks, definitely in the conversation for the worst in the NHL. So a worthy number one overall pick. I can't hate it too much.
Maybe a little bit of a reach, but that's okay.
That's all right. Well, that's it's the hockey way to reach for it for no reason at all.
Exactly.
Yeah. So then I guess that means Alex is on the clock now.
So the thought I had for definitely what would be number one with the bullet. If you want someone who is a really bad defenseman, and I'm not going to go with who you think now, not yet. I'm going to go with the pickle man himself from San Jose, Marc-Edouard Vlasic.
Okay.
Still making $7 million a year for three more years. This contract was signed back in 2017.
Oof.
A year before it kicked in, he has had a negative plus minus for five straight years, basically every year on that contract so far. And so he was overpaid as it was for being the, what, third defenseman behind Burns and Carlson or whatever. And he was, you know, a solid defenseman at one point, but he's 36 now. So, I mean, this is just, it's bad. And there's no way for San Jose to get out of this unless he, you know, gets LTIR'd at some point.
Well, I almost said the American dream, but that's more like the Canadian dream now. It's to get LTIR'd for the rest of your career. Still cash the check and don't have to go to work. That's the world. That's just a human being dream, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If someone wants to pay me to do that, I'm happy to help.
There's worse things in the world than living in California and playing in total anonymity on a San Jose team that's not going to do too much the next little bit here.
Yeah, $7 million can buy you a cozy two bedroom in the Bay Area, right?
Yeah. he's got roommates.
Yeah, I remember like just from at some point during, I think it was when the Hawks played San Jose, and I looked at their contracts, just the way everything was on the books for their future, and the whole thing is just, oh no, oh like everywhere you look, it's just oh that's bad, oh that's not good. Like I feel like Logan Couture is still a good hockey player, but for four more seasons at $8 million, like that's pretty close to being every bit as bad as the Vlasic one.
And Couture is older than I thought he was.
He is, yeah. He's been around forever. And they're kind of – San Jose was that weird, like, half in, half out. They kind of did what the Red Wings did at the end of, like, the Datsyuk era, where they're trying to kind of hang on and hold on. And they gave – like, I don't understand. They gave Hurdle this big deal, and then they turn around and trade Meyer. And they obviously traded Carlson, too, and I guess they got a new GM or whatever. But – like the half in, half out kind of, and so you end up stuck with older players and bad deals.
Yep.
Fun for everyone. I guess that means Eric, you're on the clock.
First of all, I'd like to congratulate David Poile on a long and storied career. I'm gonna keep it going with defensemen. I think this is the abject worst deal in the entire NHL, and I'm gonna take Drew Doughty.
Mm.
He makes the most of any defenseman, and he has been bad for quite a while. Drew Doughty, get out of here.
Yeah, and that's a deal, though, that actually looked really bad at first. Again, like signed a year early, and then his year after signing was horrible before it even kicked in. But then he's been like acceptable for a team that has been a playoff team again. So I feel like that was not quite as bad, but it is still a lot of money for a player who is nowhere near what he used to be.
No, and it's somehow still in the best defenseman conversation every year. Like I'm living in the Twilight Zone.
He's the West Coast bias.
Yeah, I've been saying that for a while.
Yeah, like I didn't he get Norris votes this year?
Probably.
I believe he did. Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Just, yeah, I mean, as you do. All right. Well, I guess like I was trying to think if there was anybody else on the Kings because like they have a handful of older players. I was trying to think if there's anyone else in the reign of bad, or I guess in the realm of bad value that the Doughty contract is, but the only one that even close is Anze Kopitar, and he is still a pretty good hockey player. So I don't think you can.
Yeah, he got a legacy extension because he'll retire with them, and you know, for I think he makes $7 million now for the next couple years, which really isn't that bad. So no, looking at their forwards, they've done a pretty good job, especially with the trades that they've made the last couple of years. I was like, man, maybe LA doesn't have a bad deal, and then I saw Drew Tappy, and I was like, oh my god.
The other honorable mention I had for them was Trevor Moore, who's 28 years old. He's got five more years left in his deal. He's making $4.2 million. He's a bottom six guy, and I feel like $4.2 million is a little pricey for that. Yeah. But I mean, you could probably live with that, you know, especially with the cap going up. But he had like 29 points last year. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's
not
that's
good.
No bueno. All right. Well, I guess it's my turn, and. I'm doing this out of a combination of spite, which is always a great motivator.
The best motivator.
Yeah, the best motivator, someone would say. Thank you, Kelly. I'm glad you agree. Colton Parayko from the St. Louis Blues. He's making $6.5 million for, is it 7 years? I don't know if it's 7 years.
Seven more years, yeah.
7 more years, and he's already 30 years old. Yep. And his archetype of defenseman is a big, giant, tall guy who isn't the greatest skater in the world. That contract will do nothing but get worse. And this is year two of that in 8 years entirely. So, I mean, he's going to be 37 when that contract ends. I can't wait to, well, if St. Louis knows what they're doing, they're going to LTIR him by like 2027. Cause there's no way that contract is going to be worth it in 3 years. I don't even think it's going to be worth it now. This was St. Louis doing what the Blackhawks did with Brent Seabrook, but doing it with only one championship instead of multiple. So, yeah, Colton Parayko, 8 years of $52 million. Enjoy that, St. Louis. I'm sure that won't suck for the next 7 years.
And this is another player. All four of these players, they signed their contracts a year early and then got really bad. And Parayko is one of three defensemen that St. Louis has that are all making that cap hit. And I think they're all 30 plus. They've all got trade protection. It's rough on their blue line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sounds awful, doesn't it? Boy, I really hate this. Yeah. Please continue talking. I want to hear more.
I don't know how you don't take Binnington, though, with just what a complete meltdown psychopath seriously. He's become. Like, he's actively hurting. Parayko is a turnstile now, whatever. But like Binnington is a distraction.
An asshole. Yeah.
Absolute hilarity. I'm loving it. But yeah, Binnington, he's the worst. He sucks. He's terrible.
My main guiding principle through all of these and with contracts in general is that the amount doesn't hurt you anywhere near as much as the term does. Yep. So the fact that it's 7 more seasons of Colton Parayko being a subpar defenseman is why I would take him over Binnington.
Understood.
Yep.
All right. Back to the top with Kelly.
All right. I am going to go ahead and steal Alex's chalk pick and go with Eric Gudbranson from the Columbus Blue Jackets. He stinks.
I heard the heavy
sigh. Do you like this?
I can't tell if that was a sigh in like disagreement with Kelly or if you're sighing
exasperation,
because you also agree that Gudbranson isn't good. Like, I need to hear more, Alex.
Can I go off on a rant here?
No, absolutely not. Next.
That's why you're here. Yes, absolutely.
That's the whole reason why. This is mainly us like complaining about everything for as long as we can, so we could talk about other stuff when the actual season gets here.
This he spells his name with a K. Go get him.
This is a mind-boggling contract that was horrible when it was signed. It made no sense when it was signed and has only gotten worse with every passing day. He is bad. He has always been bad. He has bounced around the league. Every GM thinks he's going to be good, but then it turns out he's not, and so they pass him off to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
A guy like this, okay, you know, you want some, a big physical guy, some toughness, whatever, you know, depth guy. You give him 1 year, or you give him, like, $1 million. So like 1 year at $4 million, it's a lot, but okay, 1 year we can deal with it. We're, you know, we're not expected to contend. Or, oh, 4 years, well, that's a lot. But if you get $1 million, like, okay, fine, he's the third pair guy. But 4 years and $4 million, absolutely inexcusable. Mm-hmm. And that's before we made the Johnny Gaudreau trade. And then we did the line extension. So then all of a sudden we had, you know, we're over the cap and then had to trade away a guy like Oliver Bjorkstrand for peanuts, all because we had this horrible player making $4 million. And then coming into the season, every other decent defenseman got hurt. He was like second or third on the team in minutes played for the season because, again, everyone else got hurt. And he was atrocious. And for all of his being big and physical, I barely saw him hit anyone. And he doesn't block shots, and he can't handle the puck. He's a nice guy, I'll give him that, but holy shit, he is a horrible hockey player. When the contract was signed, I thought, there is no way he serves the entire term of this contract. I'm like, this is going to get bought out after year three at the latest. And at this point, based on the other moves the Jackets have made, adding defensemen this summer, I think he's going to get bought out next year halfway through this contract. Horrible, horrible, inexcusable contract.
Is it so that's it?
Yeah, you don't really have any strong feelings then?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. You're not worried he's gonna become a Babcock guy and Babcock's gonna love him for some ridiculous reason.
God, I forgot about Babcock.
Oh,
so
yeah,
Babcock no. Did a radio interview recently, and he was talking about like communication with players and how sometimes players take what he says too hard because of the tone and all that. And he mentioned, oh, yeah, there was this veteran defenseman that came in to meet with me and one of his coaches. And he was like really nervous about the meeting and stuff. And he didn't name who it was, but he said veteran defenseman. I'm like, well, that's totally a good Brantz, right? That's going to give Brantz knows he's going to get his ass chewed out. He knows he's not going to fit this system because he can't move the puck. Oh, God. I would say I need a break, but I know it's my pick next. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, go on. Out of you,
take a minute, catch your breath, yeah, have a sip of water.
All right, so I'm going to go with, so this is going to make me feel better to rip on this guy, that stupid motherfucker who shouldn't be in the league anymore, Tom Wilson.
Oh, okay. I really wanted to do this
off
one.
The board.
Yeah, so his contract doesn't even start until next year. So he's got, I forget if, I wrote 7 years left. I don't know if that counts this year or not.
100 years.
He's going to be making a raise. He's going to get a raise starting next year, a year from now, at $6.5 million. He's already 29 years old. He's been having injury issues. He plays the type of game that's going to get him hurt. And frankly, if he becomes a huge hated albatross for that team, that buries that team, buries him, I can't wait. I can't wait.
When has signing a power forward ever gone wrong?
Right.
Seriously. The way NHL general managers are obsessed with Tom Wilson, it's remarkable.
Yeah, the contract starts next season, and it's 7 years, $6.5 million per season.
Yikes.
Yeah, get excited for 37-year-old Tom Wilson making $6.5 million.
I just assume, like, every time I see a long-term contract now, I just assume it's going to get LTIR'd at the end.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as that Tom Wilson contract came out, my first thought was, oh, that's not going to happen. That's getting LTIR'd. Somebody will be tanking in 5 years for whatever 13-year-old Canadian kid's tearing it up right now. There's that contract's like, and I saw a passionate defense of that contract by a few Washington Capitals fans, and it's good none of them are here because I was like, valued effort. I'll give you credit for trying, but it's not going to work.
And it's like,
yeah, they love that deal.
When you go to the cap friendly page and you see like the red arrow on the right that shows that there's like more years that don't fit on the screen, that's usually not a good sign.
Yeah. All right. I believe it's Eric with a C to make a pick here.
There we go. Back to it. All right. So I'll get some vengeance on Kelly here and Rasmus Ristolainen.
That's the one. That's the one.
And that's not quite as bad as Seth Jones, but that's another one too, where the player's bad, the contract's bad, and then you see what they gave up to get the player. And again, older GM, no longer there. Danny Boy's in there now, ripping it up. But yeah, just inexcusable, terrible deal for a bad player.
Yeah, All of those things are incredibly accurate. And the most annoying thing is that Risto was actually noticeably better last season and still not good. And everyone had to be like, oh, look at him go. He's getting better. And we were all supposed to be happy about it because we're stuck with him forever. But nah, still bad. It's after, I mean, Briere did well to get rid of a couple of the other bad contracts that the Flyers had in Kevin Hayes and Ivan Provorov. So with those two gone, yeah, it's definitely Risto. He stinks.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing the Travis Sanheim deal. I know that's a really long one that it's, Philly has, but he a little more on the quality of player there. I assume.
Yeah. He's had some struggles over the last couple of seasons. He's been playing with Ristolainen, so could be that. Could be that he's just struggling. I don't know. But he is – that's a bad contract. Like, don't get me wrong. It's not good. It's entirely too long. I can't believe they let the general manager that they had to know that they were firing give out an 8-year contract. But Travis Sanheim does have theoretical upside. Risto is just what he is.
I like that you say it's theoretical upside, because I feel like I've been saying that about a lot of Blackhawks players for the last 5 years. Like, I could see where this, I could see how this player would be
he
good.
Could but be, the, yeah. He just has to do it. That's
they're,
all.
They're trying so hard.
just do the things, and then everything's fine.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, I guess that means it's my turn once again, and I looked at this. I didn't realize this contract was this long. And I also had no idea that the contract had gotten to the point where it's not this, where it is this bad. Tyler Seguin from the Dallas Stars.
Oh, he was on my list. Yeah. Darn yeah. you.
I was not like, I essentially like part of my research for this was literally Googling like worst NHL contracts. And I was like, I didn't know Tyler Seguin. What happened to Tyler Seguin? Like he was so good. And, you know, age gets all of us eventually, but just looking at his production the last few seasons, like he's much more of like a like high third, low second line guy when he used to be a clear cut top line guy, undoubtedly. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not terrible, but it's still like it's like the Seth Jones postulate, if you will, that not going to live up to the almost $10 million contract salary cap hit he's going to make every year for 4 more seasons.
Right.
Well, him and Jamie Benn, they both just kind of fell off a cliff. Like at the
yeah,
same
time.
Maybe they're getting donuts together on the way to the rink yeah. or something. But
no one expected Jamie Benn to go down like that. But
it's never going to get old, folks.
No. I will never get sick of that joke.
Nope.
But what will get old there, honorable mention to Ryan Suter.
Hey-o.
Oh, yeah.
What a segue.
Who should be on pace to, I think, get bought out twice, which I don't think has ever happened. Jim Neal didn't want to do it this summer for some inexplicable reason. He's only making 3.65, but he has a no movement clause. And he's been bad the 2 years he's been in Dallas, and he's still got 2 years left. So,
at least it's only two more years, I guess.
But yeah. Was he good before he got there? I mean, he was bad in Minnesota for a long time. There's some where it's just still, even
they signed
a
36 year old to a 4 year deal.
I know. It's like, what the hell are you doing, man? Especially you look at who they've drafted and the deals they've signed the last couple of years, like they're in a great position. So it's like, how is it both things at the same time? Like it just boggles my mind sometimes.
Yeah. Long-term contracts for NHL players at or near 30. Just don't seem to come out very well. Ugh. All right. Well, I guess we're back to the top of the order. Top of the third round with Kelly.
I'm going to go ahead and take Ben Chiarot off the board.
Yep.
Bye. He's another one that I don't fully understand why NHL general managers continue to insist that he's something.
Because he's big.
Is that all it is? God, these guys. Every one of them a size queen. Like,
it's the Iser plan. You can't question the Iser plan.
Yeah, what is he doing?
I don't know, but I love it. It's like they're a sub-league, just the most mid team of all time.
Yes. Like it got real weird.
I adore Alex DeBrinket. I think he's, I'm so sad that he didn't, he was on in the worst era of the Blackhawks, but he also like, he's not what they think he's going to be. And mm-mm. They're at some point, like in 2 or 3 years, like they're going to realize that and they're all going to start hating him. But it's not his fault he got money for something he is not. It's because Steve Yzerman thinks he's like the next Pavel Datsyuk or something. And he's not quite – he's very, very good. He's just not that good.
Mm-mm.
Well, they just need him to be plus Bertuzzi now. Larkin has to pass it to somebody. DeBrincat can shoot it. So I think that's what they're thinking. But I think Detroit, like, they had their heyday. And my wife is from Detroit. Her brothers are crazy Red Wings nerds. I think nobody wants to go play there anymore outside of, you know, so they have to overpay and they've kind of have seen
people
it.
People from Michigan like to bring it though.
Yeah. Well, he's from the burbs for sure. Like that's, but I still feel like that contract's that's not going to look great in a few years.
And their homegrown players largely haven't turned out except for Mo Sider. But even Mo Sider was dragged down a ton by playing with Sherratt. It was only when they got split up that Sider started playing like he did his rookie year again. So, like, that's how much of an anchor Sherratt was.
I'm sure Jeff Petrie will solve all of their problems.
Well, that's the thing. They have a couple, like, Sider's really good. Raymond's pretty good. They have a couple other younger guys that are coming. But then they have these weird, like, old, like, let's go sign Andrew Kopp. And let's sign JT Compher, who's exactly the same as Andrew Kopp. And, like, it's... Perron, just kind of you're throwing money.
I've got to say, like the JT Compher contract for me, because it's a few years longer than Sherratt's, like that might be worse.
Sure. Could be.
It's in the conversation for sure.
Well, yeah, but that's what I mean. They have to overpay guys for what they would get anywhere else to get them to come there. And so you end up with kind of these weird bad deals for players that really shouldn't be getting that much money. But Sherratt by far he actively hurts the team and they're paying him considerably well to do so.
I'm glad we all got the teams that we cover out of the way in the first few runs. So now we can just talk shit about the rest of the NHL.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is
the best thing.
Yeah. Wonderful. Speaking of that, Alex, it's your turn to give us a team to talk shit about.
So this is a player who I didn't realize that he was this mid or that he was paid this much. And there's also non-hockey reasons to not like this. But Valeri Nichushkin from Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to guess what his career high in points is?
Like 70?
45.
52. And he is making $6.125 million for the next seven seasons. And he currently has a no move clause. And he, you know, had that issue that got him kicked off the playoff roster or whatever because of whatever.
We all got tricked into thinking he was going to be something.
Did we? Or just Joe Sakic? I don't know.
Well, Joe Sakic definitely did.
Well, when he first got to Colorado, wasn't he pretty good? I feel like he contributed to that team.
Yeah, like I.
Yeah, but also it was a good team. So like their guys. Were dragged down by being in a bad team, but there's also like mid players that look better
because
they're surrounded by good talent. So
he's been close to a point per game. He had 47 and 53 last season, and then one before that, which was probably when he got this deal, he was 52 and 62. So.
Well, he had a really good playoffs too when they won the cup.
Yes, he did.
And so that's he got paid for that. And we've seen that firsthand, you know, in Chicago and that crumbled the dynasty essentially. So Colorado, may have done themselves a big disservice by giving him that deal too.
Yeah. Especially when you have like McKinnon, Rantanen, Makar making what they make, and then you're gonna give a complimentary piece that much money for that long. It gets the kind of thing that gets you in trouble long term.
Well, and they chose him over Burakovsky. They let Burakovsky go, who in my mind is a much more useful player and a much more versatile player and is like one of those kind of unheralded guys that really helps you in the playoffs and things like that. Yeah, that's a really bad contract.
Yep.
Yeah, I had no idea. I don't think I realized that contract looks that potentially bad. Ugh. All right, Eric, back to you.
I hate this guy. He's a big piece of crap. He makes way too much money. Jacob Trouba, get out of here.
That's a good one.
Oh, no, but leadership. But leadership, Eric. You understand. Yeah,
leadership is all his headshots.
Yeah, right. He's really teaching the young players how to. Yeah, he leads with his shoulder, right?
Leads with his skates off of the ice. And I feel like there are segments of the Rangers fan base that will defend him to the death.
Mm-hmm.
But then anybody outside of that fan base is like, yeah, fuck that guy. No, he sucks.
Yeah.
Ask any Winnipeg fan how they feel about him. Also, the way he's paid, he's the 14th highest paid defenseman in the entire NHL. He is not the 14th best defenseman in the NHL.
No.
Nowhere close to anything like that.
And he's what, the third best defenseman on the Rangers?
Maybe even fourth.
But the intangibles, guys, gotta understand. He's good in the room. No, not buying it either. All right.
No.
I don't. It works on NHL GMs, I swear to God. Like, you just gotta say, oh, he's good in the room. Oh, shit, give me three of them.
It does work on them. They're very stupid.
Well, yeah, if there's no objections, we'll move on to my pick. Similarly, on the blue line, and again, another player, I feel like it's kind of in the Seth Jones territory. I don't think he's too bad of a player, but the contract, the term and the cap hit and everything all together, it just doesn't seem like it's going to work well in the long term. And that is the Darnell Nurse contract, which
he was on the list.
8 years, $74 million. It is season number two upcoming. He will be 35 when that contract ends. The last three seasons, there's a no movement clause in there. It's just that just doesn't, yeah, just long term just doesn't seem like that's going to work out very well in some way.
And it definitely was a run there that started with the Jones contract. Like, that sort of set the thing of like, oh, if you've got a defenseman that's like your top defenseman, you want to lock him up long term, the $9 million range is that's the new market amount. And he just hasn't lived up to it, especially as he spent more time away from McDavid and Draisaitl. And then also other guys signed contracts like that. And like Cale Makar signed in that range too. And it's like, well, shoot, a lot of these guys are not Cale Makar levels. All of a sudden they look way overpaid when really he's more underpaid. But I think even of some other guys that got, like, you know, Zach Werenski signed that as well. And you could argue he's overpaid, but I would certainly take him over Darnell Nurse. So,
yeah. I think we're the biggest issue was being hurt.
Yeah.
No, Jones and Nurse both got more money than Dougie. The same, it was arguably one of the best offensive defensemen in the entire NHL. But, and I was thinking about it, I thought the Campbell deal is also really bad if he's unplayable, which it certainly seemed like he was by the end of the year. At least Nurse is, he's kind of in that Seth Jones category where he's useful. He'll eat a bunch of minutes. He can take some of the pressure off Bouchard a little bit while he develops some more. Whereas Campbell, I mean, it's goalie deals. It's not the same level because it's not the same term and it's not the same amount of money, but that just, it blew up on them immediately as soon as they signed him to that deal. And thankfully for them, they have Stuart Skinner. Otherwise they would be totally deuced. But
who knew that putting stock in a former Toronto Maple Leafs goalie would be an unwise decision? I swear. I feel like NHL GMs just need like a burner Twitter account. Just like, you just need to go just like, like, there's a lot of jokes that get made on parts of the internet, especially on Twitter. And I feel like, but like, a lot of the jokes are based in reality. And just float a little thing like, man, what, like, it's just like, hey, man, like, should I pick up, like, for my NHL 23, should I, like, trade for Jack Campbell? Nah, he sucks. You don't want him. He's a Toronto goalie. Okay. Then I won't actually sign him in real life, too. Okay. That's what I would do if I was an NHL GM. Maybe that's why I'm not an NHL GM. all right, we're back to the top of the order, and Kelly.
Okay, so this one might be spicy because it's our first goalie on the list. I'm going John Gibson.
Ooh.
Oh, I love that.
He's got a lot of term. He makes a ton of money. And like, I feel like you're getting a league average goaltender at best out of him at this point. in his
What's
career.
Weird is it was a contract, though, that seemed like a steal.
It sure did. It's at the time. Kind of weird, yeah.
Flip that much.
You can't sign a goalie for a lot of money or for a lot of term because they don't make any sense.
Sure.
Correct. They can be like lights out for an entire season and then the next season be total trash. Like we were talking about Binnington, like perfect example. Like they just don't make any sense.
So Anaheim's defense got a lot worse.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that doesn't help, but yeah, I really hope Danny Briere never locks any goaltender up for more than like
not,
4 years.
Not even Carter Hart?
No. Carter Hart, I feel like, might not be available for us at some point.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm so tired of every single year that John Gibson isn't bad. He's just tired because he faces so many shots because Anaheim is so bad.
Oh,
that article
tired.
Gets written every year. And it's always, he should get traded to the Leafs or he should get, and then you'll see what he actually is. You put him on a good team, put him on a team with good defense. And he's bad. He's been bad, objectively bad for at least 3 years now.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a terrible deal.
So what
yeah.
you're saying is he's good so long as he doesn't have to make any saves. Okay. That's what
yeah,
I need
exactly.
for my goaltender. Yeah. Good stuff.
So I had another option for Anaheim though. Now it's not as much of an issue because they have like $19 million in cap space still, even after they sign Zegras, they'll still have room. But they signed 34-year-old Alex Killorn
for 4 years,
6.25 per year. And he's like an okay player, but 6.25 for the 34-year-old?
That's too many.
That's that's cash trying to cash in on a veteran with Stanley Cup experience on your young team and good for Killorn, may not be good for Anaheim.
Alex, teach these kids what it means to be in a cup. Like, oh yeah, just like play with Kucherov and Hedman and Vasilevsky.
Wait a minute. We don't have Stamkos and Kucherov anymore. I don't know what to do here, guys.
Well, they did the same thing by signing Gudas. Like that's the same type of like bring in the old tough dude to come in. Verbeek's been on one this summer. I mean, I think starting with the draft. But yeah, the Killorn one and Gudas was a little bit of a head scratcher, especially because they're not like it's not like they're Jersey or like Buffalo, where it's like those guys will help push them a little bit more into contention. Like they're bad. They're going to be bad for a couple of years until their younger guys develop. Like that's a really bad one too.
I saw Ryan Strome's name bandied about on a lot of lists too. It's a similar term, a little bit less than Gibson. It's only $5 million instead of 6.4. So I think that would be in consideration, but I think Gibson takes the cake here. So can't disagree with Alex.
It was me.
Kelly. My bad. Alex is next.
I will go with a different goalie, however, that I think is an even worse contract than Gibson's. Philip Grubauer.
Okay.
Four more years at 5.9, has a no trade clause. My big thing with him though is like I thought he was, even though he was like a Vezina finalist his last year with Colorado, but like he was playing for a very good Colorado team. But also, you know, I didn't love Seattle's expansion draft, but they got Chris Driedger and Joey Decord and Vitek Vanacek, right? So it's like that should have been a sufficient goalie core. And without investing too much in that position, because as you said, goalies are kind of weird, so they can be hit or miss. So don't invest a ton in them because of that volatility. So go with, you know, Driedger and Vanacek and you'd be fine. And I don't think that would change Seattle's trajectory at all for the last 2 years, but instead they gave, you know, nearly $6 million a year to Philip Grubauer and he's been awful. He's been under 900 save percentage both seasons there. That is like one of the rare missteps in terms of contracts that Seattle's handed out.
Yeah, Driedger looked like he was turning a corner too. He had a really good year in Florida.
Sure.
And yeah, I remember that the big thing was whether or not they would take Carey Price. But then they got a lot of people thought that they did a great job kind of sneakily taking Driedger instead. So it seemed like he was going to get a shot with Vanacek to kind of roll and see. And then nobody expected them to sign Grubauer. Everyone thought he was going back to Colorado. So yeah, it was a kind of a strange deal and strange term. And he has not been good. He was all right in the playoffs for him, but in regular season, he's been really bad.
Yep.
Then I believe it is back to Eric now.
I'm kind of surprised. I'll keep the goalie train going. I think just because of the playoffs, probably that pushed him up a little bit more. A little while ago, Bobrovsky would have been probably top five, I would guess. It's been pretty bad. He's another super mercurial goalie where he's unbeatable 1 year, and then the next 2 years, he's terrible. He did have a good playoff run, kind of faded a little bit in finals, but it's still, and I think that they came out all right with Tkachuk. That, you know, they're looking pretty good. They got some other really good bargain deals, but that might cause them to miss out on a couple of the kids like Montour and stuff who are up for new deals. So it's bad enough that it's going to affect them on and off the ice for the next few years still. So Sergei Bobrovsky is my pick.
Yep.
Yeah, I had him on my list, and I was looking a couple times, and I think I ended up over not picking it because the term isn't long, but it's a lot. It's a lot of money for a goalie who had a good month, couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you shouldn't pay pretty much any goalie $10 million.
No,
that's, you know, and like Bob wanting to leave Columbus was obviously a lot of drama and it kind of hurt. But then when we saw that he was going to make, you know, $10 million a year for 7 years in Florida, it was like, oh, okay, bye-bye. Have fun in the sun. You know, someone like Panarin hurt a lot more because we knew he was still going to be good for a long time. But yeah, $10 million a year for Bob. No, thank you.
Yeah, I don't think any goalie that's ever been paid that it's ever worked out for them. At all. I mean, I guess Quick a little bit, and what Luongo made just about that much. But yeah, that's a
Vasilevsky might still be worth it yet, but even he hasn't been himself necessarily under his new contract. So
yeah.
What about DiPietro? How'd that contract go? Is that a good one? Can anyone confirm or deny?
I think they're still paying him for like 26 more years.
We're still paying Sergei Bobrovsky, Brizgalov, Ilya. So,
oh, really?
Wow. At least he was awesome, though.
We are paying him. I think we're paying him till 2027.
Yikes, is he on the Bobby Bonilla plan?
So he just randomly shows up at a Flyers game, I guess, to collect his like $1.5 million paycheck or something. I don't know, but he's still hanging around.
I hope he gets the big giant lottery check and just walks around with it.
Me too. He does deserve it if you think about
it. He does. Should hang out with Gritty. I would watch a web series of that. Brizgalov.
So would I, actually.
So
Dave, I think it's you, Dave.
Yeah.
And I'm struggling because one, I screwed up our spreadsheet, so I had to go back and fix everything. And then a lot of the list I had to catch up and cross everyone off. So now that I'm done stalling for time and I've done everything I've needed to do, this one, I feel like I'm banking on this contract getting really, really bad, really, really soon. And it's Ryan O'Reilly with the Nashville Predators.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
So it's not the worst deal in the world. 4 years, 4 years, $18 million, $4.5 million annually. But I feel like he was starting to trend downward a little bit. He's already 32 years old. And I think by year 3 and 4, this contract's going to get real gross for the Nashville Predators, which will be a shame.
I could see that.
Oh, again, a little divisional spite. Can't deny it's in there as well. But yeah.
He was my pick for them, but I had him at near the bottom of my list because like he's still an okay player.
Yeah, he's still good.
It's not an awful contract, but it's a weird fit. First of all, like, why would he choose to go to Nashville when he could go to like a competitive team, you know, and which I don't think they're going to be. And then also, why is Nashville investing in a guy like that after the other moves they made? I mean, I guess they brought in some very Trotz type veterans, but what is the goal there? I thought when they got rid of Duchesne and Johansson that they're going to kind of bottom out. But I also know that as long as they've got Saros and Yossi that they can't ever truly bottom out. But I feel like this is just going to keep them in that, oh, we're going to be a, you know, 87 point team and miss the playoffs by like, you know, 5 points or something. So
sounds great. Yeah,
looking at them, they have this really weird roster And it's almost like this weird expansion team kind of roster where it's like a couple old veteran guys, like a couple guys that are good, but you're looking at them on paper and you're like, where are they going to get anything from? I mean, Yossi's awesome. Saros is awesome. But yeah, offensively, there's not really, I guess, Forsberg. Outside of that, they don't really have anybody else that's that interesting to watch. But yeah, the Ryan O'Reilly, that was, I had McDonough too. He's another guy that's not a great deal and he's aging pretty bad. He's fallen off, but you can't argue with Ryan O'Reilly. That's all right. It's not too bad.
Yeah. I think he was healthier recently. I was thinking like Roman Yossi a little bit just because of the term on that one, but I think I feel like he's going to be a better hockey player for longer than Ryan O'Reilly. It just seems like,
He's still pretty good. Yeah.
It seems like the mileage on O'Reilly's tires is good. I feel like it's going to catch up in a hurry. So
I think it already has.
Yeah. So, all right, back to the, we're in round five. So we're halfway home. Everyone Woo! Step outside for a quick smoke break and then come back inside. And then Kelly, you're on the clock.
I'm ready. This one's kind of like your O'Reilly pick because he's not really a bad player. He had a really good season last year, but he's got a ton of term and he's old as hell already. I'm talking about Jeff Skinner. On the Buffalo Sabres. Yeah. I feel like that's a contract that was probably signed with the knowledge that the back half of it was going to be a disaster. But if we're just looking at contracts in a vacuum, I don't think that's a good one.
He is coming off an 82-point season, so
yeah, that's nice what I mean. He was
kind of bounced back, but he's still being paid way too much for what he is at this point.
Yeah, I mean $9 million a season,
and for a guy 31 now, yeah.
And I think this was Eric was mentioning this about another team, and I forget which one, but the idea that $9 million a year in 2 or 3 years, if some of those younger guys come up for their next contract, because they do have a lot of good young talent in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. If something with the Skinner contract costs them one of those guys, that Skinner contract is going to look really, really bad, really, really fast. So,
and they got lucky. I mean, they signed him before Thompson hit and before they knew what they had in Cousins and before they had Owen Power. And it was really bad, like from jump. And I think they got lucky that everything kind of came up around him and he's able to play him and Thompson and Alex Tuch are such a great line together. And that's, I think you could put anybody on that wing and they'd probably end up with 70 points. So that they benefited from that. But yeah, that was a really, really ugly one that's kind of gotten a little bit better the last few years as the team's gotten so much better.
All righty, Alex.
All right, I'm going to do one that's going to make me very happy to rip on this team from Pittsburgh, Chris Letang. I get why they signed the deal, and I get that Hextall was trying to like keep the gang together for one more run at it or whatever. And I think everyone knew like this deal is not going to age well, but you know, we want to keep them together for the next two seasons. But then of course the first one, they missed the playoffs. Letang missed, he had a stroke for Christ's sake. I can't believe he came back after that. He was a minus 13 in 64 games. So he's definitely not what he once was. So, I mean, it's kind of a nice, like, hey, you've had a great career here, so we're going to give you a lot of money at the back end to, you know, make up for the years you were underpaid or whatever. So, like, in some ways, the contract is justifiable, but I still think for what he is, it's a bad contract.
That's interesting, because I agree with you. I also, part of me felt like, and I had Carlson. And I had him ranked 32nd. So, I mean, the best of all the worst contracts just because it's so much money. And he's been on and off. And I don't know that he's going to do again what he did last year. But he'll be much better on that
Penguins. For sure, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I can see Letang too.
All right. That means we are over to Eric.
Back to me. Man, there's a couple here. I'm going to go a little bit higher than I had him ranked, but that Huberdeau deal already looks horrible.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a chance for him to recover a little bit as they get a new coach and they switch from Sutter's system. And if you give him someone else, you know, to be able to play with, but Calgary, I mean, they're kind of in flux right now too. So I don't know if they know who he's going to play with, but the money and the term, I mean, he just had a nightmare year last season. And nobody really knows what Calgary's going to be going forward. It was a great deal to trade, at least for him at the time, you know, getting something for a player who said he was going to walk. And Weegar looks like he's awesome, but yeah, the Huberdeau deal. I mean, maybe it's not fair, but I always thought he was kind of a little bit more of a product of how awesome Barkov is than how good of a player he is on his own. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, that was, it's interesting to, like, I can't disagree with you in any way, but it also feels, it's weird that we are talking about, like, how quickly that went from, like, he was a 115-point player the season before. And so for $10.5 million, 150 points isn't bad, but it's also a possibility that he will not, he may never be that hockey player ever again. So you're paying $10.5 million for something he did in the past, which, as I think we've all learned with all of our teams, when you start paying for past performances, that is a very good way to get yourself in a lot of trouble in a hurry.
Every time.
That's pretty much exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Most of these people, that's what happened, yes.
And this is like the part of this that's hard for me. It's like, it's when there's a player that does a lot for you, like a player that does a lot for a team, but then like the very harsh business decision is to let that player go, even if like every fiber of your being is screaming like, no, don't let that guy go. He's really cool. I really like this dude on the team. But ugh, I guess that's what you get.
I mean, and any team that has success, you're going to face that at some point, you know, especially when you have kind of like a homegrown core of players, you have to kind of pay them or pay whoever you can. You know, if you're lucky, your players become really good players and then you have to pay them like really good players. And that means you can't keep everybody.
Yes.
So you're going to start to make some mistakes at some point because, you know, some guy that you love, and then that's going to kind of be your undoing, whether or not you realize it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that means it is my turn again. And, I guess I am just I'm spiting the Central Division in the biggest way here, because that's all the teams I keep picking are, or excuse me, all the players I keep picking are within that division. I'm going to go with, like, there was two defensemen here on the Minnesota Wild that I was going back and forth with, and I think I'm going to land on Jonas Brodin, or is he Jonas or Jonas? Whatever. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. You know that guy.
Because I think the, just again, five more years at $6 million. And I feel like he was supposed to be better than this, than what he is. And I feel like Jared Spurgeon is closer to the $7.5 million that he's getting than Brodin is to the $6 million that he's getting. So that's my pick. I'm going to go with Jonas Brodin.
But they like just signed him, right?
He signed this deal, 2020, September 15th.
Oh, okay.
Happened to have it open right in front of me as you asked that question. So very good timing on your part.
I had him too. Yeah, I like him as a player. I think he's just more of a defensive defenseman. And so he's overpaid for what that is, especially on a Minnesota team that has no money. They have zero money. They got nothing. That's probably a guy you don't need to sign to that kind of deal. I think you'd be all right without him. But I mean, he's a homegrown guy. Obviously, they love him, and so they felt like they wanted to pay him.
You'd think the state of hockey would have more money. Yeah, funny.
Parise and Suter got it all for the next...
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the dead cap buyouts that's going to murder him, but...
Yeah. All right, back to the top. We're already up to the sixth round. Only three more left.
Flying. You're flying through this.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is another one where it's less about the player, I think, and more about the contract. I'm going Morgan Riley because he signed until the end of time with a no move clause. And I don't know, $7.5 million is a lot. I know the cap's going to go up, but they have a lot of very highly paid players. And I feel like two or three years from now, like, that's one of the ones where they're going to be like, I wish we weren't paying all of this money to this guy right now.
I feel like he's he's probably close to worth it. That though, it's just that they've got some other
right now
overpays yes. too. So, yeah. like, because I had Tavares.
Yeah, that was the other one for me. Yeah, no, he's not.
And he's only got 2 years left, but I also felt like when they signed him, they already had Austin Matthews. So it's like, you want to hope that Austin Matthews becomes your 1C. So why are you signing a likely 2C to $11
because
million?
Because he wore the pajamas.
But also,
that's why.
That was it. That was literally the whole thing.
But just think,
a nice story.
You're Toronto. Aren't you supposed to get hometown discounts? Isn't that the whole point of a hometown discount, is that you get a discount?
Just Mark Giordano. That was the one.
And that applies to any of these guys. Because they're all freaking Toronto guys.
Yeah.
Morgan Rielly, I don't know if he's good. I don't know. Like, I feel like anybody on that team with those players around them, any type of defenseman is going to score and do
yeah.
it. I can't tell if he's a good player.
I feel like
I think he's fine.
I feel like he's never been the quality of a number one defenseman, but he's been the number one defenseman.
Yes.
Or he's been into that role in Toronto. So he's always been like a notch below what you think he should be. So you don't think he's good. But if they had another number one defenseman, everyone would think, and he was in the number two role, everyone would think he's the best player in the world. Or he would be so overperforming his position that he would be thought of much higher than he is right now.
I'd say he's probably the top 20 defenseman, though.
He's very good. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like he's not like. I guess the way I would describe it is, I feel like he would not. I don't know if he's a Hall of Fame player at the end of. Oh, or maybe he would be. My sources in my ear are telling me I could be wrong.
Someone is disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No worries. I have no problem being told by a dog that I am wrong.
Does it happen to you often, Dave? Is that yes, what you're saying?
Yeah. Dogs tell me I'm wrong all the time.
They're very astute.
Yes. All right, Alex, I think that means we're back to you.
All right. So like Bob, another contract that, you know, a player that I hated to lose, but when I saw the contract, it's like, oh, okay, well, good luck with that. Josh Anderson in Montreal.
That's a good one.
He still has 4 years left at $5.5 million, a modified no trade clause. And the last two seasons, he has missed 13 games in each of them and has scored 32 points. So that's, you know, and it's a guy that, you know, at his peak looked like he really could be something because he was a power forward. He could skate really fast. He had a wicked shot. But then, you know, he had an injury in the 1920 season, and I don't think he's ever fully recovered from that. And definitely his offensive production is not, what we hoped it would be at some point in Columbus. So yeah, paying $5.5 million for a guy that's scoring 32 points a season for you, not good enough.
I feel like this entire contract was, didn't he score a playoff overtime winning goal? For Montreal,
or is maybe, but it was after that contract. This is the only contract he's had in Montreal.
Okay, so. then I'm thinking of a different player because I thought there was somebody in Montreal because it was the playoffs in the bubble, so it would have been 2020 when he was still with Columbus. So it was somebody else from Montreal who scored a playoff goal, and I thought that the guy that contracted seemed like it was entirely based off of one playoff goal, which again seems like an interesting way to do business. But now the player's name is escaping me, so never mind. Good story, Dave. Tell it again. But yeah, I mean, this is definitely a player where the point totals and the salary cap hit do not line up in any way. So yeah 32 points last season, $5.5 million.
Yeah, that's not great.
Not great, Bob.
Not at all.
All right. Well, if no other objections there, then I think we're on to Eric.
So this is kind of a weird deal. And we talked a little bit about Spite before, but I'm going to say for the Hurricanes, it's the Kotkaniemi deal.
Yep.
Okay.
The offer sheet that, yeah, Dundon was all pissed off because the Habs tried to sign, or they were going to sign Aho to the offer sheet and they matched it. So they went and got Kotkaniemi, and he's just been really not good. He hasn't developed at all since he's been there. The deal doesn't really hurt them. They're able to maneuver around it and sign whoever, but it's just, it's a bad signing in that it didn't pan out. It didn't at all do what I think they thought it was going to do. And he's probably, you know, bottom six, maybe even a fourth line player. And he's paid a lot more than that.
Yeah. I 8 years. Oh my God.
Why, a long time.
But he's young enough that he's going to be 30 when it expires. So it's like, it's definitely the worst contract that Carolina has. And usually they're very smart with their contracts, mm-hmm. but it is at the bottom. It's near the bottom of my list. You know, like down there with Ryan O'Reilly is like not that bad of a contract, but definitely the worst on that team, I think. And he had 43 points last year. So like maybe he's starting to get more comfortable, but yeah, I think he's definitely not what they hoped he was going to be when they acquired him. Certainly not like, what was he, a top three pick when Montreal got him? He's never going to live up to that. I think best case scenario is that he's like a solid third line guy.
Yeah. Same. I mean, I appreciate that they took a swing and I wish more people would offer sheep, and especially out of spite, like that's awesome. Do it.
Yeah.
But it didn't pay. And Dave, I wonder if Koko Niemi isn't the one who had the big goal for Montreal in that bubble but he just got paid by a different team instead. So
that might be the case. It's Montreal. So if I would look it up, but I don't think I care enough. So let's just be totally honest.
It's in French anyways.
Yeah. 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 All right. So I've been going back and forth here, and cause I was going back and forth. I'm on the New York Islanders. And I have two players in mind, and I can't decide which one I want to go with here. And I feel like, again, I'm going to default to the long-term contract being the one, because it's between Bo Horvat and Anders Lee. Anders Lee, for 3 years at $7 million, seems like a lot. I know he's still good, still pretty good, and the captain, but I don't know. The Bo Horvat I know Vancouver was just a trash heap of a situation.
Yeah.
And everything was bad and it brought players down. But I never thought Bo Horvat was that good. I feel like players can still be
good. Well, he had a career year. I think that's the thing.
And then 8 years and $68 million? 8 years?
It's like Huberto. It's the shiny new toy thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lamoriello, he knows he's going to die before that deal ends, so he didn't care. He was happy to write that contract.
God, that's awful, but I mean, not entirely wrong either.
Well, and the Islanders were a tough team because there were a lot of choices. I thought you were going to be choosing between Scott Mayfield and Pierre Engvall, who both signed this summer to confusingly long deals. But I actually have another option for them that I think is really spicy.
Okay.
And that's Matthew Barzal.
Oh, that is a little spicy. Oh,
well, is he really a $9 million player?
I think so. Like I really like Barzal. He's fun to watch, and I think he's really, really good.
Here's the thing. Should a top-line center be a 20-goal guy?
No.
Unless he's got a lot of assists.
I'm saying, should he be at least a 20 goal guy?
Yeah. Yes. And he's only done that.
Scored 20 goals once in his career.
Yeah. And it was his second year. Well, first full season. And
his high point thing was his rookie year. Tavares was still on the team. Trotz was not the coach yet.
That's what I was going to say was, is this the Barry Trotz effect where he's not allowed to play offense?
I don't know.
That's a real thing.
Not what he was as a rookie. He has been under 60 points for the last three seasons.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, thank you, Kelly. He has not played a full 82. Part of that is because COVID years and all that. But he hasn't been over a point per game since the 17-18 season. So I'm more open to that than I think I was initially.
My hot take has been for a long time that Pierre-Luc Dubois is a better player than Barzal. And I don't think anyone realizes
that is a little bit spicy.
Look at the numbers, not including Barzal's rookie season, and they're very similar, if not an edge to Dubois.
I mean, the Islanders are not an offensive juggernaut, and they grind it out. I think Barzal's a good player, but I think that is an overpay for him, especially at that production. And no, I mean, him and Pierre-Luc, I mean, that's not too far off. I don't think they're.
I will say, though, that was the last pick of the sixth round. So I feel like we're getting to the spot where we're probably like we're going to say it's the worst contract on the team, but it may not even be that bad of a contract.
Yes, that's like, about where I am. Yeah.
Like I'm looking at something like I've got, you know, we have this ready list of the teams who are left, and I'm looking at them and my list, and I'm like, I don't know about any of these. So so with that in mind, Kelly, you're back on the clock. Good luck.
Yay. I think I'm going to go with Neil Pionk. Pionk? Is that how you say his name from Pionk? Winnipeg?
Pionk?
Pionk?
Pionk, I think. Yeah, Pionk.
I like Pionk better. I'm going with it.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think anyone from Winnipeg's listening. No one from Winnipeg's listening to this anyway.
No. They don't have an airport, so it's hard for them to do confirm. Anything. Yeah. Like you said, it's what's left is tough because a lot of these remaining teams really don't have like a single actually bad contract. Yeah, I don't really have a good reason, but that's what I'm going with.
Yeah, Winnipeg doesn't really have anyone with much term. I came up with like Nate Schmidt, but they didn't.
That's what I had too. Contract.
He's like not a bad player or anything.
No, he's just
a little overpaid, but only for two more years. So yeah.
And Morrissey's got five more years, but only at 6.25, and that's not too bad for what for his production.
He's a really good player, yeah.
Yeah, Kyle Connor's got $7 million for three more years, or 7.1 and change. But
that's a bargain too. That's
This I'm intrigued by this part by just like I don't think these contracts are that bad.
No, not really.
All right, I've got a tough call for my pick here. So I'm going to go, I'm going to trust my gut here and go with Nick Paul in Tampa, who is 28 years old, signed for six more years at 3.15. He has a no trade clause. His career high of points is 32. it's not like a super bad cap hit for them, but that's just like way too much time for a depth player. You just don't give that kind of term to depth.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and they, if I remember correctly, didn't they? They traded for him, and he was like really good in the postseason, and then they gave him a 7-year deal, which seems a little much.
It's like, and you can trade for that kind of guy.
Yes,
every season.
If you're a team of Tampa's quality, you should be able to churn out players at the bottom of the roster like that. On the regular.
Yep.
When I saw the, what was it, Monday or Tuesday when they gave the Brandon Hagel contract, I was like, is that going to be on the list? But then I don't think I realized how good of a season Brandon Hagel had last year. So.
Yeah.
Trust me, like, I was as surprised as anyone, and I watched Brandon Hagel a ton early in his career. The other guy, all right, so the other guy on Tampa that I was going to nominate here, and this is more for spite because he's not quite Jacob Trouba, but he's working his way into that category is Eric Chernak. Just seems to be like skates around with his elbows up over his head, just throwing shitty hits all over the ice and just generally an annoying hockey player. And he's so that certainly influenced it, but also for an 8-year deal at 5.2 for the next 8 years. And he signed it last summer, and it goes into effect this season. I don't know if he's quite that good.
Yeah, that's rough.
So,
actually, I had Sergachev, and I really like Sergachev, but that's a lot of money, and I think they're paying him. They're projected. He makes more than Hedman. Like,
that's wild.
No one should make more than Hedman on that team.
That is inflation for you right there.
We're hoping he becomes Hedman, I think.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what they're paying him for. Yeah. But especially on a team where you got to make difficult decisions, like they're banking on the cap to go up a lot in a hurry. And that's what I felt even before I saw that Hagel deal. And that, you know, I really like Sorelli too. Like, I like that they're keeping these guys. It just feels like for the team that was like Stamkos gave them a hometown discount and they were getting some of these guys to stay for less money, it feels like they're all of a sudden they're kind of overpaying to keep some of these guys around.
Yeah. I think they just don't care what's going to happen in 3 to 4 years from now.
That's the next GM's problem. They're all going to retire. All right. We're down to six teams left, six picks left. Eric, you are, you're on the clock.
Yeah. I'm kind of waffling between two. I guess I'll go Robin Leonard just cause it's
okay.
Hysteric how much that's kind of blown up. Not to mention all the weird like bankruptcy stuff, but I don't know. Leonard was here on the Blackhawks for half a season before, or three quarters of a season before he went to Vegas. And he's just, I don't like him as a person. I don't. And I don't know if you heard this, Dave, someone somewhere compared him to when Brandon Marshall was on the Bears.
Yeah.
Where it's okay. This guy who's just so loud and so obnoxious. And, but his thing is like, he airs everything out. So it's like, this is just my personality. Like, if you can't deal with it, and, but it's being abrasive is his personality. Yeah. At least that's what it felt like.
And it's like, and like, you appreciate that. Like he speaks up about mental health and like, which is a very good thing, but also like the way, like just, but like, so that, that's a good thing, but also he just seems like a dick. Like I don't have a better word. Like, it just seems like he somehow manages to end up on the just the wrong side of either the room or the perception of him from the outside. Like, I don't know how to, he always seems to end up looking like an asshole. And I don't know how to describe it any better than that, just from this perspective.
Well, and the fact that he came in and that's why they lost the most likable player in maybe the entire NHL and Marc-Andre Fleury, mm-hmm. who, you know, was kind of their rock from the beginning. Like, that kind of makes it, that adds another level that makes it bad to me. And then, yeah, just the whole, and you know, if he needed surgery, whatever, but just deciding he was going to leave three quarters of the way through the season last year when it looked like, you know, they weren't going to make the playoffs, he kind of just decided to go home. And then all the weird bankruptcy stuff going on too. Like, he's just a huge distraction. And he's one of those guys that keeps going from team to team to team to team to team. And there's got to be a reason why. So I think that, yeah, that did not work out for them at all. And also for Vegas, maybe Petrangelo, because it's a lot of term and it's a lot of money for an older guy. They don't really have any other ones that like scream bad deal.
Yeah.
I went with Aiden Hill, and it's not a horrible 2 years, $4.9 million, modified no trade clause, but it's like, I think that playoff run proved that goalies are fungible. And I get that you want to like give a contract to the guy that like won the cup for you, but I'm not sure that they couldn't have done that with any of the other like half dozen goalies they've got in their system at the moment.
Can I interest you in a gently used Peter Mrazek? He's gently used because he will miss half the season with an injury.
Oh, I don't think any of us like him.
No.
Somehow we've all been wronged by Peter Mrazek.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have five teams left: Arizona, Boston, the Devils, Senators, and the Canucks. And as I'm going through these teams, like I have like, it's like one or two for each team, and none of them look that bad.
No.
So I think where I'm gonna land, and I think this is again, kind of an age and term is the main motivator here, is Andre Palat in New Jersey.
Cool. Yep.
That's a good one.
That's the best one I could come up with. And again, I don't think it's the worst contract in the world. I think $6 million might be a little bit of an overpay. Cause I don't think like he's been like in like stat wise, he's been like, he's been in 40-point range a lot, probably projects out to more 50 up near 60 on an 82 game season. That's the best one I could come up with. Cause all the other long-term deals with New Jersey are like all the studs, like
all the really good ones. Yeah.
And Jack Hughes and Jesper Bratt and Hischier. So that's the only one that I could look at and be like, yeah, that one might. And because Palat's 32, That's the only one I could find that might be an issue later.
I wonder if that Brat contract might end up being an overpay in a few years. I wonder about that guy.
I'm intrigued. I know there's a very specific part of the internet that will tell you Jesper Bratt is the best hockey player in the world or something like that.
Those people are weird and they frighten me.
Yes, they are. Can confirm. But it does seem like Bratt is Bratt, right? Yeah. Jesper Bratt is he's back to back 70-point season, so that's gonna be interesting. But yeah, that's my pick, and that is the final pick of the seventh round, which means we're on to the last round. So here we go. Kelly.
All right. I feel like the easiest one that I have left is Oliver Ekman-Larsson in Vancouver.
He's not in Vancouver anymore.
Is he not anymore?
He got bought out.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, then I'm going to go.
He's on Florida now.
With my next one.
Is his buyout count, like, for the...
No, probably not. That feels like cheating. I'm the worst. Okay, so... Okay, my pick for Ottawa is not even bad, but I feel like I can talk my way into it. Just because, as I've said, you don't give goalies term. So I'm going to go Korpisalo in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Because
I can.
It's too long. He's already 29. They gave him a no move. I feel like that's going to be a bad one.
And Alice, correct me if I'm wrong here. I always thought Korpisalo was like decent, but like, I don't know if
I feel like he's him, like a league average goaltender.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd call him like a good goalie.
It's been an odd career where he's had to wear a lot of different hats. I think he's not a good backup because he needs to play regularly. But he's also not a workhorse because he fatigues easily. It happened in the bubble playoffs where he was really good against Toronto and really good at the start against Tampa and then hit a wall. And then same thing happened this year in the playoffs against Edmonton. He was really good for a few games and then started to waver a little bit. He had some bad years in Columbus, but I think that was due to a hip injury that wasn't really diagnosed or treated until much later. And once that got fixed, then last season to start in Columbus, he was a lot better than I thought he was going to be. So he made that trade possible. I think he's like a 1A or a 1B type guy. So I think, you don't want to invest too much in a guy like that you're going to need to handcuff with another good goalie. Although I do think it's fascinating what Ottawa is doing because Korpisalo and Anton Forsberg played together with the Cleveland Monsters for several years. So they're a tandem there. They won a Calder Cup there together.
Ooh, hey, Anton Forsberg, Blackhawks legend. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a great puck doku player, by the way, Anton Forsberg. He's bounced around a surprising amount.
Yeah, goalies are the ones you want for sure.
That's good. I had like Artem Zub for Ottawa because I couldn't bear to put Korpisalo down, but I think Korpi's probably a good pick there, especially for the last round pick.
I had Zub too. Yeah, it kind of felt the signing, but that's a good point with him and Forsberg, and I didn't make that connection. But just it felt like we need a goalie who's the best free agent goalie. Oh, okay, I guess it's Korpisalo. Like, let's go get him. But I mean, Forsberg's been pretty decent for him too, so it might not end up being that bad. Especially if they do a tandem, that could work out well for them.
It's just the term's a little iffy, I think. But
all right, then I guess we're on to Alex.
Yeah, so I'm surprised that you all avoided this one for Vancouver.
I almost did this two or three times, but then every time I was about to make this pick, I was like, maybe he's actually that good. But
JT Miller. We all know that.
Yep,
and
yeah, okay.
He's been a point per game player the last couple of years. Like, he's been playing pretty well. You know, even after signing the deal, he was playing well, which is sort of unusual based on other guys we've picked that were signed early. But there's the fact that Vancouver was bad, and there was all this talk about can they trade Miller before the contract kicks in, and that's usually a bad sign for the contract.
Yeah,
he's 30 years old. He's got the no move clause, $8 million for 7 more years. Again, might be fine for the next couple years, but I think it's going to age poorly. And is Vancouver in a position to benefit from having him over the next 2 years? Do they have enough of the other pieces? Are they that close to competing? I really don't think they are. It's just, it's a very odd pick. It's, you know, it's aged well so far, but it just doesn't seem like the right contract for the right player for the right team.
And I just learned this because I was Googling JT Miller to figure something out. His middle name is Tanner, and I'm not giving $8 million to someone with a middle name Tanner. Just not doing it.
Janner Tanner Miller.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Janner Tanner.
Yeah.
Pride of Palestine, Ohio.
If a Tanner does not belong in Western Canada, then I don't know where they belong in this world. But is it, he's a big problem child too, isn't
yeah.
he?
Well,
like that's his thing.
I remember a bunch of drama with him throughout the course of last season, and I like was drama it? Between him and Horvat or something?
Well,
like,
that's why the Rangers booted him, and then that's why Tampa let him go too. He's a me first guy. Yeah. Which in hockey is like, oh my god,
you're the worst.
Forget it.
He and Tockett are going to have a fist fight somewhere in public before this next season is over, and I can't wait. They're going to square off at practice.
They very well might. He almost went to Pittsburgh, but I think their ownership nixed it, and that's what got Hextall ultimately canned. If everything that I heard is correct, but
yeah.
But it would have been better than like the Granlin trade or whatever. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We're down to our last two picks, and I think it's hilarious. I just want to point out that the two teams left are the Arizona Coyotes, who have been been so bad for so long. And then you have the Boston Bruins, who just had the best season in NHL history. I don't know how those two teams ended up at the end.
Wow.
I don't know what it says. I mean, maybe part of it's because half of Boston's team just retired. So, or half of their big contracts. So, but
also like can't have any bad contracts if you don't have any actual contracts for players that are playing for your hockey team.
Yeah, there you go. That's the lesson to be learned here. So, Eric, I guess it's up to you. Pick whichever.
All right. This is pure 100% spite pick all the way. I'm going with Lawson Kraus on Arizona. Okay.
I love it.
My reasoning is this. I hate guys, and this started in baseball with Brian Wilson. I hate guys whose whole personality is, I got a funky, crazy beard. I'm a fucking crazy beard guy.
All right, you lost me.
Probably smell. Oh. No, that's he's a grinder guy. He's a glue guy, whatever. You know, they're not paying anybody else, so it doesn't matter. But just that personality, that guy, no thank you. I'm done.
I have an even more irrational reason for hating him, and that is that in his draft year, Flyers people kept talking about how the Flyers were going to get him because he was such a Flyers player, and it made me hate him because, as you said, stupid grinder-type player, which is always what we call a Flyers player. It makes me insane. And so ever since then, I've hated him for that exact reason, nothing else. So beard, sure. Draft year rumors, yes, these are perfectly viable reasons to hate a hockey player.
Absolutely.
Also, his name is Lawson Kraus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shut up. What a dumb name. Who named you? So stupid. WHL draft ass name.
It's an NHL 25 auto generated name for the 2036 draft.
Mark Donk.
I really liked it. Like in the older NHL games that got really bad, it would be like Bill Kucherov or like Sergei Johnson. Like we got to work on this nationality thing. You guys need to line these up a little bit better. I feel like they do that well now, but it's still, if you told me Lawson Kraus was a NHL 28 creative player, I would believe you.
Nothing will ever beat the old Japanese created baseball games for American players though, where it's like Dave
Rollins.
Yes.
All right. Well, I got the last pick, and I part of me wanted to just kind of a spite pick, just have Milan Lucic here, just because he doesn't belong in the NHL anymore.
Sure doesn't.
But whatever. It's only 1 year, so I don't think I could do that in good faith of the game we're playing here. So I guess I'll go to Charlie Coyle, and it's more a no movement clause and three more years at 5.25 for a guy who's.
Yeah.
Fine, I guess. Like, again, not the most defensive contract in the world, not going to tank your cap situation, but among the options available, that's probably the one that's doing the least for you.
So. And he's their 2C now, so yay.
Well, a lot of people get that in name, and whether or not it's the in practice is another story.
Well, this has been playing like center for them. They already got their left winger from last year. Is going to be their number one center now because everybody retired. But
yeah,
I don't know. The only other argument I could really make for Boston, and it's not even a rational argument whatsoever, is I don't know why Pasternak signed that deal. Like, I guess he just wanted to stay there, but he had to know, like, there was a good shot Bergeron and Krejci were gone, and then, I mean, it's just, it's kind of him and old Marchand now.
Yeah, like, but he's making a ton of money, so.
Well, he would have made a ton of money anywhere, though, if he would have waited one more year, but, I mean, all these dudes are locking themselves up now. Nobody's going to hit free agency next year, except for probably Teuvo Teravainen, but. And that's no knock on Teuvo, but when you're expecting, you know, this insane free agent class and then they all sign their deals, but it has to be Charlie Coyle. There's nobody else on Boston. All their other deals are either really good or inconsequential.
Yeah.
I have Hampus Lindholm, but I didn't feel great about that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
7 years, 6.5. That's still a lot left, but he's a solid player. So.
And yeah. And Carlo at 4 years, 4.1 doesn't seem too terrible. And McAvoy for till the end of time for 9.5 isn't even that bad because he's only 25. Even that deal goes up to 2030. It still doesn't feel all that terrible. So, all right. That's the draft.
Just
for fun. I tallied up the overall cap hits to see where we're at. Alex, you're at $49.275 million. Kelly's at $50.65 million. I'm at $55.85 million. And congratulations, Eric! You win. You had $58.72 million.
Yay!
So
Bobrovsky. That's all Bobrovsky.
Well, you've got Bob and Doughty and Huberto.
Yeah. Oh,
you got three double digits. So you took all the big hitters.
Well, I got eight of my top 14, and I'm shocked that I had the lowest cap hit of everyone here.
So what do we all learn today? I feel like the main thing
don't
is...
Don't pay defensemen money.
Yeah, right?
Especially when they're older, 26.
Yeah, I remember the Hawks gave Duncan Keith like a 13-year contract, and it was only at $5 million, and that contract is the only reason they were able to keep everybody else together as long as they did. Unless it's just like the idea of locking up a player for a long term like that seems like a great idea, but it's so hard to do that when it just seems like the league is getting so much younger now that you cannot expect even like a 24 or 25 year old player to be the same at the end of like a 6 year deal anymore because the league is so young now.
The Devils still have a Kovalchuk penalty. From that deal that they're paying. And isn't that what's the most you can do is 10 years now, right? Everything else is illegal?
Something like that. Oh, I thought it was eight, maybe.
Only eight?
I haven't, I think we're going to find out pretty soon, but we'll have to look it up.
We have a running joke on Broad Street Hockey Radio that the ideal contract length is 2 years. Every contract should be 2 years, no more than that.
I don't mind the Austin Matthews. I like especially when you're talking about older players, like the NBA's got it down. Just give them a bunch of money for a few years and then have players switch teams a little bit more. It makes it a lot more fun. And then you're not stuck with these horrible, like baseball and hockey, where you're stuck with these deals that will last into eternity. They're terrible.
And a player can bet on themselves too, as the cap goes up. If they're still playing well, they can get a bigger raise. They're not locked into a thing like Nathan MacKinnon had, where it's like, wow, man, that's a real steal for Colorado. And he's had to feel bitter about that. You know, you want your team to do well, but you also want to get paid for what you're producing.
And I don't know if this is ever something that could happen, but I wish there was some way the NHL could do some sort of like, if you sign a player to a long-term contract and that is a player that you drafted, that it somehow is only a percentage on your salary cap hit.
Yeah.
It's like maybe only take off like 20, 15%. But I feel like there should be some sort of acknowledgement of if you drafted and developed this guy, you are allowed to retain him at a slightly less of a penalty than if a guy you know, throwing $100 million at a guy in free agency. I wish there was some way that they could do that, but I don't know.
The NBA has something like that, and I think it's a great idea, especially as someone from a market that has to pay a premium to get players to stay here. So
yeah, no, absolutely. I think it levels the playing field across the board. It would allow smaller market teams to do that for sure. So
and the Stars would get paid. So
yeah, and the Stars would still get they might get more money because they get more money to stay home.
Yep.
So yeah, absolutely. So
I don't know, that discourages player movement to me. That's the only, I'm an agent of chaos. That's what I wish more guys would switch teams and blow stuff up. And especially in hockey, nobody does that. Like, you know, they just don't. So, hey, but you know what? Like, good for Kachuk. Kachuk's seen as like this visionary for being like, no, I don't want to play here. You can send me somewhere else. And then he got to pick where he wanted to go and he got his deal. But then look at the inverse, like Huberdeau signed this huge deal and nobody knows. Calgary looks like it's just going to be a wasteland. And yeah. Now he's stuck there on this terrible deal, probably in somewhere he's not super stoked to be, but yeah, he got paid. So
but they got a saddle dome there, Eric.
Yeah. They got some rodeos and
I just very recently listened to a Kyle Kinane bit about Calgary. So my opinion of it is low at the moment. It's very funny. Highly recommend.
But I don't know. I'm like I said, the more movement, the better, as far as I'm concerned. I think it keeps it more fun and interesting, but that's just not hockey. That's not the way it is. It's not the NHL.
Yeah. Well, I think just the lack of flexibility with contracts in general, the fact that you can't just like cut a guy like you can in some other sports, I think is a part of that, part of the causes of that outcome that you mentioned there. So, all right. Well, thank you, Alex and Kelly, for joining us in this discussion. Kelly, did you have any final thoughts you wanted to add?
No, but this was super fun. It was way more fun than I thought it was going to be. I don't know what that says about me or you.
That's our goal. That's going to be our website motto now. It's way more fun than you thought it was going to be. Just let all the people know where they can find your work. And if you're on the socials, wherever you're at these days.
Yeah. Come on over to broadstreethockey.com. If you want to read about the Flyers a little bit, we are trying to, like everybody else here, make our way outside of SB Nation. So come give us a look. We have a podcast, Broad Street Hockey Radio. You can find me on Twitter for as long as it exists at Hinks, H-I-N-X. And yeah, that's everything for me, I think.
Well, okay, thank you again for joining us. Alex, what about you? Anything, any places you want to point the people in the direction of you and your work?
Yeah, I run the Canon at jacketscanon.com. We're on Twitter at CBJCanon. I am at Pale Dragon Seabus on both Twitter and Blue Sky, kind of mostly on Blue Sky now because there's less Nazis. But yeah, that's where you can find my stuff. So,
all right. Well, and I guess we were all intently rooting for each other's teams last season because of the circumstances. Now we have to go back to hating each other, I guess. So,
jokes on you. I always hated the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, I've got plenty of room for that.
Yeah, that's totally understandable.
For obvious reasons.
Can't defend it. Yeah. I mean, there's no denying it. I wish we could like embrace the villain role, but also like because of like some of the really shitty things the Blackhawks did, yeah. It kind of feels like we can't do that. So I would love to just be like a pro wrestling heel for like the next 5 years, the whole time, anytime Connor Bedard does anything, but you know,
kinda. He's going to do a lot of stuff. So
bust. Just kidding.
I've had that conversation with like, I feel like most people in my life know me as the hockey person there. And there, everyone's like, but he's like 18 years old. Isn't he going to be bad? I'm like, God, I hope not. we're really screwed. Oh, what if, What would happen if Adam Fantilli ended up being? Now, let's not even go down that road.
It's not going to happen.
What if Leo Carlson ends up being the best one of all of them?
What if Shane Wright's better than all of them?
What if it's Matvei Michkov? Maybe he's the best player.
It could be Matvei Michkov.
You can never know with them because they're Russian. Enigmatic. Yeah. You don't know what you're going to get.
Briere's doing pretty good for himself so far. I must say, I've been impressed.
After the last 3 years, it's a real breath of fresh air, let me tell you. Somebody doing something and the things are not objectively bad. So I will take it.
Progress is progress no matter how you get it.
Exactly.
It's pretty amazing, how much PTSD we get from some of our GMs that, like, seriously, just being competent is like, oh my God. Let's get this guy, let's get him a raise, let's get him a bunch of money, let's get it. But yeah.
All right. I think that's going to do it for this Friday show. Again, Alex and Kelly, thank you so much for joining us. Eric, thanks for brainstorming the idea, because I will take no credit for coming up with this, because this was entirely Eric's idea. So thank you for that. And we'll have another Friday show next week on something. We'll come back and find out next week, and we'll talk to you then.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.